Do you think this sort of advice from the academic sector extends across to other disciplines? Government has to deal with plenty of other things, health, public health in particular, economics, international policy. During your tenure, did you feel that it was taking advice from the academic sector in those areas as well?
Yes. So, as a matter of fact, when I came into government, what I did was redefine the word science to take it back to the Latin scientiae to mean knowledge. And so in every bit of work, for example, one of the big pieces of work that I did that is still having an impact was on flood and coastal defences for the UK. So this was looking at climate impacts as predicted by the Hadley Centre through very complex modelling and indicating that our biggest risk was from flooding. So reporting back on this meant that I had to set up a team of scientists, engineers, economists, social scientists, even humanities people, looking at the narrative so that we could produce a picture that was applicable to government decision making. It really doesn't make too much sense to just use one part of that knowledge base. Equally, some of the problems I dealt with, obesity, foot and mouth disease epidemic, these are issues that crossed the same sorts of boundaries. So I think that it is very important not to be too narrow in the advice system that you use.
It's interesting to see such a holistic approach. Speaking of flood and coastal defence, this is very much almost like a future-proofing problem. Could you comment on why you set up the foresight departments?
I was faced with the foot and mouth disease epidemic in 2001, February. Started February 21st, we now know, March 20th. By that time, I had pulled together a group of epidemiological modellers from outside government to model the epidemic, model how the then policies would work, and then try to model policies that would be much better. And I took these to the Prime Minister, and the situation was then turned around. So, in effect, I was put in charge of policy advice on the epidemic. The way the epidemic had been put under control was essentially to take out lessons learnt from the 1967 foot and mouth disease epidemic and apply them. Now, this was a completely different epidemic in many different ways. First of all, 67 was largely spread by pigs. The epidemic in 2001 was not spread by pigs at all. By this time, largely because of swine fever, pigs have been taken out of the marketplace. And so it was spread by cattle and sheep. And the mode of spreading meant it was inter-farm. It was across farm borders. Now, once we modelled it, we very quickly realised this, and saw that the procedure required was that if a farm went down with the epidemic, animals on it going down, then immediately you should cull not only those animals, but all of the animals on the neighbouring farm, and then you stop the spread in its tracks. So this was a new containment process that was entirely developed on the hoof, as it were. Now, I just want to say that during that period of time, I was working round the clock, 24/7. The modellers were working 2-3 in the morning. We'd be phoning each other because this was an epidemic raging. It finally cost the country £6-7 billion, and I was having to report to the Prime Minister twice a day, meeting my science team once a day, helicoptering around the country to see how policies were being implemented to encourage farmers to believe we were doing the best thing. It was hectic. I never wanted to be in that position again. So the foresight program, and I finally get back to your question, developed from this. It was the idea that actually we need to keep an eye on all potential risks, but we added opportunities to the United Kingdom if we could just try and look at different scenarios going into the future. How could we manage that? And the first of the foresight topics that we covered was flood and coastal defences, because I was very concerned about what climate change would do. So it was taking a long view in the foresight process, typically 30 to 50 to 60 years into the future, whereas, of course, typically government takes a 1 to 5 year view.